Please turn with me to Acts chapter 3. You can follow along in your own Bibles or follow along with the text and outline given in the insert of the bulletin. We'll be covering verses 17 and following, but we'll read verses 11 to the end of the chapter. And before we do, let us seek the Lord's face in prayer first. Our Father, we thank you that you have given us your holy truth. And we thank you, Lord, you use your word to address the hearts and consciences of your people. So, Lord, we beseech you that you might speak again through your truth to your people. O great prophet Jesus Christ, we ask that you might speak internally by the power of your Spirit into our very souls, that you might address us, then we might see how much we need you, even this day. O Lord, hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Chapter 3, verses 11 and following. We'll be focusing on verses 17 and following, but to set the context, this is where Peter was used to bring this lame man to heal him, or to bring him to a point where he recognizes the Lord's hand. He leaps with joy. Now, people are astounded as to what has happened, and this becomes the occasion for Peter to make Jesus Christ known. Verses 11 and following, I remind you, this is God's word. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murder to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance and did also your as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these things, proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word for his glory and our benefit. Francis Turton, a great theologian, basically summarized the misery of mankind. He talked about the threefold misery into which man has been plunged. And the threefold misery is this. He says, our problem is one of ignorance, guilt, and the tyranny and bondage of sin. Ignorance, guilt, and the tyranny and bondage of sin. And the reason he was highlighting that was to underscore how in each one of those miseries, Christ in his offices comes to fulfill. When it comes to ignorance, Christ as a prophet gives us the truth, the word of God. our guilt, Christ comes as the priest to minister to our guilt. The tyranny and bondage of sin in which we exist, Christ as the King delivers us and rules us as the mighty monarch that He is. But one of the things that Turton said, as I mentioned, is one of ignorance. That is one of the threefold miseries into which we have fallen. Do we really have, or are we really ignorant? Is that really a problem of humanity? This is probably of all the things that Christians would say, this is probably the one thing that our culture and man by instinct would deny. We are advanced in culture. We are technologically advanced. We know that in our generation, we have exceeded every other generation technologically. It is a vast information age. We have huge libraries all around the world. We have expanding scientific knowledge, and we have great scientific accomplishments. There's great medical progress. Surely, if man has a problem, it's not one of ignorance. And that's how many people would look at it. If there's a problem we have, it may be other things, but it's not ignorance, because what do you hear people saying? Well, we're not dumb and brutish like those old people, like those people way back when they lived in superstition. But I think Turton is correct. The Bible does teach that we are in ignorance. That man's problem is that he is ignorant of who God is, of what man is, and what man is placed on earth to do. We don't know who God is. It is something we suppress. We don't know Him. We don't know who we are. And we don't know why we exist in the world. You read the philosophers and they come out with some strange ideas. It is one of ignorance. We may have a lot of information, and we do. We can go on the internet and get anything we want. It's all out there. It's a beautiful thing. If there's a question I have, I can type it and Google it, and there's a billion answers that I can look at. But that's not the kind of ignorance that man has. We don't know who God is. And we don't know who we are. And we don't know why we are here. I talked to Bob McKelvey, Pastor McKelvey, yesterday. We were talking about South Africa, preparing for it. There's some talk that I might be able to speak at Cosmos City in South Africa. It's a little work they're doing in this area in South Africa. It's something that our church has been praying for on Wednesday nights. But one of the things Bob said to me, he said, Mark, if you do speak there, please keep it very, very simple. He says, because you are actually addressing adults at a fourth grade level at best when it comes to theology. It's not because they can't understand a certain vocabulary. It's not because they're not religious. Many of the Africans are very religious. It is because when it comes to who God is and what man is and what the purpose of man is on this earth, men are ignorant as much as Africans and Americans. We're all ignorant on these things. That's why Paul, to the Athenians, the men who are considered the most knowledgeable at that time, the learned philosophers, he looks at the inscription and on this altar to the unknown God, and he says, what therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. Man's problem is ignorance. And that is why the first point in this sermon, we say humanity thoroughly needed Jesus to be the final prophet. How did God remedy man's ignorance? He revealed Himself, and the way He revealed Himself was through the prophets. They spoke God's word to people. They were God's spokesmen, and they revealed the will of God for their lives. And in the Old Testament, you know, God made His purpose known to many prophets. And he revealed himself through other means, but it was primarily through prophets. And that's how God remedied our problem of ignorance. We weren't left here to figure out. It is amazing with so many religions. It reveals man's ability to grope and grope and still fall. And that's why God revealed himself. And we must understand as we begin to look at this passage why we highlight the fact that Jesus is the great prophet. As we study our Savior Jesus Christ in this series of sermons, Moses was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. He was the one that God used to bring the law to his people. But in that passage of Deuteronomy 18, Peter refers to it as he summarizes that passage. The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. Why was he pointing that out? He is saying, the one that brought healing to this lame man is the prophet that's spoken of in the Old Testament. All the prophets, he says in verse 24, who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these things or these days. The prophets were not perfect, but they did reveal God's truth accurately. And what was expected among Jews was this, that this one prophet would come who's in the order of Moses or something like that. And many of them expected that when that one prophet came, the end would be ushered in. And Peter says, guess what? That prophet came. There's some interesting verses in the New Testament regarding this. As we read Hebrews 1, the writer of Hebrews says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. In these last days, that's exactly what they were looking for. And Peter is saying, guess what? That prophet that God mentioned in Deuteronomy, he raised him up, and you're to listen to him. You know the old statement, it's not over till the fat lady sings. The final speech has come. The Lord Jesus Christ has spoken. He is the final prophet. And why is it that we need him? Because he reveals who God is. We dealt with this a couple weeks ago in John 1:18. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. He's referring to Logos, Jesus Christ, who became flesh. He's referring to Christ, who was always with the Father. He makes the Father known. And that's what the prophets were supposed to do. But no one can do it like the Son. So he says, Jesus says in John 6, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. And truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, whoever believes has eternal life. So what does Jesus do? Why do we need him? Because he perfectly reveals who Jesus is. I mean, who the Father is. He reveals God. But he also reveals our salvation. Remember in chapter 6, where the disciples were beginning to leave Jesus because they were offended by what he said? Jesus said to his disciples, are you going to leave too, Peter? And Peter gives these immortal words. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What was Peter saying? You alone, Jesus, you give us the words of eternal life. That's why we need Jesus as a prophet. He's more than a prophet. But no one can reveal the Father like him. And Jesus himself has the words of eternal life. There's a magazine I like to look at when I have time. It's a woodworking magazine. I like to dream all kinds of things that never get done. But it's fun to look at them. At the end of this magazine, quite often, they'll have an old, old tool that was maybe made in the late 1800s. And you're supposed to write in, you're trying to guess, what is that tool for? And they have the strangest tools. And you look at it like, how could anybody use that? That looks so awkward. And you think and think, and you can't think of anything. You know, it's so strange. Then the following month, it explains it. And as soon as they give the explanation as to what it does and how they use it, all of a sudden when you look at the picture, it makes perfect sense. You go, oh, of course. That's what it's for. I see. I see the handle there. I see this and that. That makes sense. Right? Lights go on. Because they give you the answer. And what does Jesus do? He's the one that gives us words of eternal life and reveals the Father. And lights go on. Believers know this. Do you know this? Where Jesus revealed the Father to you. Where Jesus revealed the words of salvation to you. Lights go on. He's the only one that turns it all on. And that is a question for every one of us. Can a person be in the church and not know Jesus? You bet. Many of the Jews. And they refused to hear him at that time. Though some did believe. So we need Jesus as the prophet. And he's the perfect prophet. You know, you read of Jonah and other prophets. They made mistakes. They weren't perfect. Moses, he didn't even get to enter the promised land. But Jesus is the perfect prophet who perfectly reveals who God is and the will of God for our salvation. But that brings us to the second point. It is this. God calls us to listen to his final prophet. He calls us to listen to his final prophet. Look at verses 22 to 23. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. In Deuteronomy 18, the context is this. With other people saying, go to this God and this is the word of the Lord. How do you know? And Moses says, God's going to raise up at different times a prophet like me. But it was used in the singular and there was this expectation, or rightly, there would be that one prophet who would not mislead them. But there will be other prophets or other people pretending to know God. But this one would come and they're to hear him. And it's said several times in Deuteronomy, verse 15 and 18 to 19 in Deuteronomy 18, where we're called to listen to this prophet. And that's exactly what Peter underscores here. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. What's Peter teaching us? Though God reveals himself through his Son, as Jesus, the great prophet, makes the Father known in the way of our salvation, who has the words of eternal life. As Moses prophesied and Peter underscores here, if we do not hear him, we will be destroyed. We harm ourselves if we do not hear the Lord Jesus. What would you say to a leper? Or a colony of lepers, if a doctor comes and says, look, come to my clinic. I have the cure for your disease. All of you lepers, come. It's right over there and I'll cure your disease. I got the answer. And what if some of the lepers says, you know what? I'm offended. I'm not bad as John, who lost his limb and whose left leg has fallen off. My arm's pretty strong. I know I got leprosy, but it's not as bad. You cannot lump me with them. You would think, that's silly. You would say, why would anyone say that? Here's a doctor offering a cure for the leprosy. But that's exactly what human beings do all the time. when Jesus speaks. Don't tell me what to do. You may be a prophet, but don't tell me what to do. Don't lump me in with them and them and them. I'm different. I don't need this prophet. And there were some that did not believe. And ultimately they bring harm upon themselves, and they would be harmed because God will render a judgment upon them. What we learn from this passage is that when men begin to rebel and not heed the gospel as Jesus speaks through his word, it reveals the fundamental problem of man, doesn't it? Remember, what did I say? Ignorance. They get the light and they resist it. Many are willing to admit that he's a teacher. He teaches good things. But they pick and choose what they will obey. They do not care to listen to him thoroughly. But God calls us to listen to his final prophet, his son, Jesus Christ. And I trust that everyone in this room and every preacher must always assume that in every congregation there may be a person, though they may all be members, who are yet strangers to Jesus Christ. Have you listened to the Lord Jesus? Have you bowed your knees to him and followed him and received him by faith? And I challenge you to consider that. Now bring us to the last point, and quickly. And this is the glory as he points out their sin in verses 11 through 16. As he points out that they denied this Savior, denied this prophet, denied the Lord's Son. God promises forgiveness and times of refreshment for those who repent and listen to this prophet. He says in verse 19, "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." What's he saying? If you repent and admit, yes, we rebelled against him, your sins will be blotted out. And that is the spiritual refreshment that he speaks of after that, and that seasons or times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Many take this to be in the future, that when Christ returns, the full restoration, yes, of course it's in the future, but surely there's the present benefit. And all believers know this, the refreshment we receive as we turn to him, the great prophet, Savior, Jesus Christ. How our souls are refreshed. And at the end of this section in verse 26, what is God doing through the preaching of the word? That he will bless those by turning every one of them from their wickedness as they turn to the Lord. So what will Jesus Christ, the great prophet, do when you turn and heed? Friends, he will reveal who God is to you. He will reveal the method of salvation, that it is through him there is life. He will give you wisdom to live out a life for him. There's an interesting verse in Luke 21:15. When they're being persecuted, Jesus promises his disciples, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict." Jesus Christ will give his people wisdom to contradict and resist the arguments leveled against them, the adversaries who are persecuting them. In our Bible study this Wednesday, we were talking about how Jesus Christ is the sum total of wisdom. And it is that Christ we need, the great prophet, who will reveal God to us. Not only that, but this prophet, and this is important, he gives God's word, and all believers know this, and may I encourage you to consider this seriously. All believers who turn to the Lord will receive from this prophet words of comfort and consolation that the world cannot even begin to understand. That he will open up his word to you and will comfort your soul. Because a bruised reed He will not break. And He will send forth the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will comfort us. And He will reveal these things. Why is that so important? Because friends, as brothers and sisters try to minister to one another, quite often we miss. But in the recesses, in the quiet of our moment as we cry out in agony, the Lord Jesus meets us as a great prophet. He makes His word known. Have you never read God's word and opened it up and all of a sudden it comes alive and your soul is restored? That's what He does. In our technologically advanced generation, with all kinds of information and everything I mentioned in the beginning, it cannot necessarily efficaciously comfort your soul. If Jesus Christ reveals the Father to you and gives you the words of eternal life, He was involved in the creation, we found out several weeks ago. If He has those living words, do you not think He cannot give you a word in season? Yes. And that is our great hope. But that word that comforts can also destroy if we do not obey and believe. And so the question for all of us is, do we go to Him and His word? Or do we resist and pick and choose? In the end, we destroy ourselves if we resist Him. But if we heed Him, He will give us great comfort, a word in season. Let's pray. We thank You, Jesus, that You are the great prophet, highly exalted. And You are more than a mere prophet. But You give us a sure word, that we would not be led into error, but unto truth. Evermore, Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts in this world of many words, but no power. In this world of many truths, but they're not true. Will You give us that word that is unto eternal life, that is unto our spiritual comfort. And we pray, O Lord, every soul in this room would know that power. O Lord, hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn in your blue Trinity hymnals to 599. The Sands of Time Are Sinking, 599. Thank you. Receive the benediction of the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Please make a note of the Bible studies in your bulletin and also the